I am pouring, now it might not be spring water, but it's, aren't we thankful that we have fresh, clean water? We don't have to worry about, we had our well water tested here a year or so ago, and the rates of E. coli and something else, I believe, but not this water. And this is, and such a blessing, you know, for years I have thought, we had, at various times, we've had different kinds of the faucet things, but one that you have the middle one, you go this way and it's hot water, and that way it's cold water. And I just go to the sink and I think, what a blessing. Turn this way, fill up a glass of water to drink, turn it that way, nice hot water, good sudsy water for dishes or whatever you want to clean up. And what a blessing it is. Lee, would you, just to help me with my illustration, would you take a drink of this nice water? All right. Good stuff. You'd help me out, wouldn't you, Ron? Okay. I'm glad to see you volunteer like that. You probably don't still want to drink that, do you?
Probably not.
I'm going to read our text. Now, if you just have to turn there, you can, but it would be better if you would let me read it through. We're going to come back to it. You would be better if you could just try to listen. And try to listen. It's James 3. Many of you have read it several times, but try to listen like you have not heard it before. And the reason I say that is because sometimes we're just so quick to check it off. Oh, I know what's coming with that. But if we can truly hear this, In a truly fresh, in a new way, it's almost, well, maybe not even, maybe we could take almost, it's shocking, the description God gives of this tiny member of our body, the tongue. If you would listen as we read, as I read, rather, James 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining or corrupting the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, bear olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Turn your Bibles now, if you'd like, to James 3:1. James 3:1, when we decide that we are the ones to decide. Okay, I'll say that again. When we decide that we are the ones that decide, then we have lost control. This is what our text today is about. Our arbitrary choice of blessing and cursing by the words we speak. Our personal whim, personal choices as to whom we speak our words for good and to whom we speak our words for harm. And when we make it our choice, apart from the words of God, then the cage door is thrown open and the beast runs wild. The fire of hell ignites our lives, and the fresh water becomes a salty pond. And I just read it, and you see all those things are directly from Scripture. No interpretation needed. I want the bluntness of that. I want the force of that to come over us. And we'll say, Dave, this is really, there was a show years ago, and it was just a silly show. And it was just like hippie, beatnik, cool, kind of a mixture of all these. And he had this expression, and he said, he would say something like, well, you really harshed my buzz. And you ever remember that line in the movie? Okay, well, we don't remember that one, but it was like, you really poured water on my parade. And we could read through these verses here in James, and it's like, James, you really harshed our buzz. James, you really poured water on our parade. But there is great hope and inspiration in these verses. But there is an obstacle before us that is impossible for us to remove, impossible for us to go around it, impossible for us to go over it. But we believe in the God who does impossible things. See, we do have mission impossible before us. We have to give up and give all of this to God. That is why we have to pay so close attention to what God is saying. Because when we make the choice to be our choice, when we are the ones to decide, we don't realize it. It's like someone casually going along and they light a match and they're out in the middle of a woods and they throw it behind them and they walk over to the parking spot and they get in their car and they drive home and the whole forest burns. These are pictures, these images, what James is giving us. We might not have seen the forest burn, but it's burning. We're cautioned that we'll be brought into judgment, into account for even every careless word that we speak. James here in the first five verses, let me read verses 1-5. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. James gives in these verses a very forceful, cautionary advice about becoming teachers because of the power and the negative potential of the tongue. But see, this text is not primarily about being a teacher or not being a teacher. Teachers are brought into it because they more formally do this teaching, and it's the person up front. It's the pastor behind the pulpit, a pastor teacher, as it speaks of in Ephesians 4. But what James wants to draw our attention to is that this person, it can be someone who is sitting in a class and they're trying to direct the conversation. And they're trying to direct their conversation, but it's not solidly on the words of God. It's an opinion. It's something I picked up from the past. It's my church tradition, wherever that is from. But we know something. We know that those words that we say can turn the ship, don't we? We know that, especially if we're an influential person, if people are listening to us. We know that our words, that we can turn the ship. It talks about, it says, the tongue boasts of great things. Now there are people who they boast of great things, and they can't pull them off, aren't there? We've seen those, haven't we? And why I'm so good at this and they're not. And all. But with the tongue, it's true. The tongue can brag about great things, and it can pull them off. Often, to our detriment, to our destruction. See, we know as people that the things that we can say. See, I wondered, I thought, such a broad category. And here's something else I would encourage you to do. I don't always push the study sheets. I would encourage you to read every single verse on those study sheets. I would encourage you to read every single verse on those study sheets. Some of them are very negative. Some of them are very much a blessing, are very positive. And I just touched the tip of the iceberg. In fact, one of the things that I almost had myself bound up about, it's like, what direction do we go when we're speaking of how we speak to one another and how we relate to one another and our words? And it's like, Lord, help me. Help me, Father, because there's so much that we could have. We could write a book on this right here. I could preach for a month on this and not touch it all. But in this text, Lord, help me. What is our main point here? What do I need to make sure that I say that I don't leave out? And here is what it came down to. It's the blessing or cursing. And for all of our words, whatever we category, we put them in gossip or we put them in, well, of course, if you're talking about the tongue, then we need to tell the truth and not lie and all of those things. But in all of those categories under this, do I choose my tongue to bless? And do I choose my tongue to curse? And the answer, let me back up a second. Do I choose my tongue to bless, to bring good? Do I choose my tongue to curse, to bring harm? The answer to that for every single one of us is yes to both. And James says that should not be. That's left to ourselves. See, it tells us here very, very clearly, and I checked all the translations, and boy, they're just all right there. No human being can tame the tongue. Do you know who that means? Yep, it means you. It means me. We think we can. We have an expression. It's called playing with fire. Well, if you play with this teaching, if you go outside of God's boundaries on how we speak to and relate to people, we are not just playing with fire, we are playing with the fire of hell. Is it not in that text? We at Faith Fellowship Church, just in case you think I'm upset with you, I'm not. We are good people before the Lord. God gave me some beauties, I'm telling you. I believe this is, it's an obstacle that's there that most churches fail. They fail, we rationalize, we take our human principles, and we let them push aside the teaching of God. Faith Fellowship Church, what would happen if we took God at his word and we never let the beast out of the cage? We never let the fire of hell loose in our fellowship. See, in that Ephesians 3:10, it talks about God's salvation and in his manifold wisdom and showing the angels, those in the heavenly places, the principality, showing the angels things about God that God hasn't taught them. They don't know. They only see them as they look through the church. I'll give you that story now that I didn't give a while ago. I've told it before, but if you're like me, you probably forgot it. But just to give us this picture of it, it's not like that we should need this, but I think it's valid, and I think it's something good to look at as the angels are peering into that God's got his eye on Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois. How are we going to handle this? And the angels, you can just see them. It's like at a ball game. Are they going to make the free throw or this show when you're watching this person go through? And are they going to make the right choice? I had this experience and worked in Chicago, drove into Chicago every day or rode the subway or both every day. I was driving one day and it was snowing, and there was this gal coming out. I believe I was coming in. I think it was Ohio Street. Can't remember for sure. Well, there was enough snow that she just didn't happen to notice the concrete medium in dividing the six or eight lanes of traffic there. And so she decided she really wanted to go back, and so she started to make a U-turn. and she got up over that and she got stuck because she couldn't get over the curb. Now, I come up there and I think, I'm driving and I see the predicament and I think, I can't get her over that. I mean, I'm not really like a big guy, you know. But I thought, well, I need to stop and try. And the traffic wasn't that bad. The time of day I came in was the time of day when everybody was going out. So I pulled up there and stopped. And I got back there and I told her, I said, now just, you know how we do, nice and easy. Don't, you know, try not to spin too much and your tires. And I started pushing. And to my surprise, I got her over that curb. And of course she thanked me, taking off. And I hear, I'm not kidding you, I hear cheering. The clouds opened up and the angels were cheering me. Well, the angels might have been cheering me, but that's not who I heard. There was this big, huge, you know, in Chicago, you see these big, huge brick structures, these old factories. Well, there was one of those right off to the side. There are these guys, I kid you not, hanging out the windows. They had been watching. They were doing this and cheering me. That was pretty cool. I have to say, that was pretty cool. I don't know what they would have done if I hadn't gotten her off the curb. I believe, and I'm not trying to go way out there or anything like that. I'm really trying to stay with our word of truth, that there are angels that are cheering. What are you going to do, Faith Fellowship Church? How are you going to handle it? Are we going to believe the word of truth, or are we going to do what just about every other... Well, boy, that really sounds critical, doesn't it? But it's just what I've ran into, that just about everybody else, just we rationalize this truth. We must think that, well, do we know better than God? I don't think so. What does he tell us? It's the ferocious lion out of the cage. But oh, the blessing that it can be. Now, to my illustration, we genuinely see a need, a spiritually thirsty world, don't we? People need Jesus Christ. People need to receive him as Savior and Lord. People need to walk with him. And we say, oh, we've got the fresh water. Turn in your Bibles, John 7:37. John 7:37. John 7:37, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That's what we've got for the world. What happened between this glass and that glass? I polluted it, didn't I? It wasn't just the water, was it? Another drink. That's what we do. When we're the ones that decide. When we know and we don't have this solid biblical basis to do it, we contaminate it and we say, what's wrong with those people? They don't like God's water. Because when we are speaking blessing and cursing out of our mouth, we've polluted it. This scripture tells us we stain our bodies. We stain our person. It's not just our body, it's our person. We corrupt ourselves. We set our own lives on fire. And we wonder why the world doesn't want to hear the message. But look out. Forces of darkness. For the fellowship of believers that'll say no more. That's not us. How do we do the impossible? We have God control this. He gives us direction. Yes, he gives us direction about lying, about never paying back insults, all these things. And those are all worthy of our time, but we don't have time this morning. But just think of the way that we use our tongues, and if we really let God speak to our hearts, and we come clean before God and honest, are we speaking to one another? Are we qualifying it? The blessing, turn Matthew 5. Well, you'll have to help me find it. Matthew 5, I meant to put one of my little green stickers in there. It's in the Beatitudes. We'll find it pretty quickly here. Okay, 5, verse 10. I'll start there. Verse 11 is what we're after. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. First Peter 3, and I think you've got this one on your study sheet. It talks about this is what we are for, to be a blessing. And if we want to live life, if we want to have the life that God would have us to, we put away evil. And that evil is speaking mostly in that text of the way that we speak to the people around us. Back in our James text. Sorry, I took us far afield there. Let me get back here to James. So James gives us a forceful, cautionary advice about becoming teachers because of the power and the negative potential of the tongue. And yes, it does speak to teachers, and yes, I do take this seriously when I get behind the pulpit, and you've heard me say things like, when I get behind the pulpit, I really make an effort to make sure it's not my stuff. Because if I'm the one who decides, then I've swung the cage open. I've let the fire of hell ignite things. And that's why. So, but it applies to each of us. When you are visiting with a friend, if you are trying to steer the conversation, and we know that we'll do this, we know that our words can do this, we know that the rudder can turn the big, huge ship, and we are not solidly based on the Word of God, then look out for the hell that we have turned loose. And we've turned a lot of it loose. We can see it on our airwaves, radio, and TV. We can see it in written media. And it's like the people that are so upset, well, if there's a God like that, and the one guy says, well, tell me about this God that you're so against. And somebody will share their story, and he said, I don't believe in that God either. Because that God's fictional. But it's God that's presented by professing believers. Because the beast has been let out of the cage. Because the fire of hell has set their life on, and we stand there and we still speak for God. Secondly, James warns that the potential destruction by the tongue evades perception and exceeds our ability to tame. Verse 5, the second part, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, by people. But no human being can tame the tongue. We think we're discerning. We think we're discreet. We think we're choosing our words carefully. But if those words in any way step away from the direction and the instruction that God has given us, then we've lost control. We cannot, you cannot, I cannot, no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, those things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Thirdly, then, those verses right there, James speaks against the unacceptable contradiction of blessing and cursing from the same mouth. The unacceptable contradiction. James says this should not be so. It's not okay. We read them what's some of our expressions? We read them the riot act, we light them up, we ream them out, we give them a piece of our mind. All those are right there in the Bible, aren't they? We've swung the cage door open. We've let hell set our life on fire. We do it in the name of God. We pollute his water, and we wonder why they don't want to drink it. One day, every tongue will say the right thing. It's interesting as you have a study and then you run across this verse, and I can't remember one of my sources. It brought this to my attention that, I know what it was. It was just a topical study on the tongue and looking to verses that might be relevant. And that was one of the first ones that came up in this particular book. And it brought up Philippians 2, 10 and 11. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day, everyone will get it right. Some, it will be with full participation because we will want to have it right. Some will just see they will still be in their rebellion. They'll be before the judgment of God. But the witness of God and Jesus Christ is so powerful. God and his truth are so overwhelming, so consuming. Our God is a consuming fire that in spite of that, they every fiber of their lives, they fought against it their entire time on earth. They'll know it's the truth. And every tongue at that time will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Faith Fellowship Church, let's get it right now. You with me on that?
Amen.
Let's let God turn the boondocks, the prairies of Western Illinois on its ear with a little old church in a 100-plus-year-old building. Gave my town to somebody the other day something, I don't know, I had some kind of follow-up, and of course I got the chuckle and never heard of Tennessee, Illinois before. I said, well, that's okay. I said, I had never either until we moved here. God knows where we are. He knows where Blandinsville is and Colchester and Plymouth and Augusta and Macomb and every other farm and home in between. I'm not saying puff ourselves up and look what we're doing, because it's impossible for us. But I'm saying this one issue of the tongue. Folks, if we can let God get our attention here, if we can take him seriously in this, all I'm saying is I think those angels are just saying, look out. I think the Holy Spirit's saying, just, I don't know what he's saying. I think I'm running out of words. About time to wrap it up, right? But I think the Holy Spirit's pretty pleased with it. What do you think? To see a group, an individual, sure, the Holy Spirit's pleased with one person, makes us, comes clean before God, but what about all of us? I'm telling you, the power of God unleashed. The monster back in the cage. The fire extinguished. The power of God unleashed. And then all these lost souls around us and our neighbors and our family members and our co-workers that we've come to God in tears for and watch God work in their lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. God, how amazing you are, awesome in majesty, your word of truth. Lord, how could anyone ever doubt it? Help us not to doubt it. Impact us with this message this morning, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.